Okay, so what has made you guys get involved with the basin?
Well, for me, that I don't know really how it happened. It's just something that evolved into doing some little bit of work with the Harnick partnerships. And they asked me to be involved in different things, and it just kind of continues to evolve.
And what is, Mitch, what is your involvement with the Basin Society?
Well, right now it's, we've looked at meadows before, and we're working on the importance of the Harney Basin meadow structure and water availability and everything like that.
Tony, what about you? What got you involved?
Well, I had worked on these flood meadows years ago just when, as a research scientist, and I was involved with not just the private land meadows, but through the refuge. They had a comprehensive conservation plan they developed. Oh, it was in the early, like 2010, 2011, 12, somewhere in there. And so I worked with them on some of the kind of identifying the different kinds of meadows and that sort of thing. And so that sort of drug me into this whole process. And that I did that when I was employed by Ag Research Service. And then the follow-up really was just wanting to stay active and seeing that, you know, the meadows are really important to landowners. They're important for wildlife habitat. I think there's something that sort of is at the core fabric of Harney County. You know, you start looking at the old photos of people with, you know, the old swathers and rakes, and where they had these big piles, and you know, you can kind of see that the meadows were the basis for the economy going way back. And I work with Esther Lev, who used to be the executive director of the Wetlands Conservancy, and now we're just both private consultants. And we had landowner workshops where we'd ask people to come in and tell us, you know, how important the meadows were to their operations, what management practices they used, and that sort of thing, and just try to get a sense of what's going on with managing meadows. And so what's happened over the years is there was a lot of work on the meadows, a lot of research, I should say, going back to the late 50s, 60s, 70s, and somewhere around the 80s, we stopped doing a lot of that work. And so I summarized what had been done to that point and gave it to landowners and then asked them, okay, that's years ago, things have changed a bunch since then. We have different species dominating now. What are you folks doing that might have been affected by the changes in species? And what have you seen over the last 30 years? And what are your impressions of where things are going? And so we use those workshops as a way to get that local knowledge captured. And then we put together sort of summaries of those workshops and then hand them out to people to make sure we were on track. And so it's sort of a way of just figuring out where we are with the flood meadows.
Now, when you say the different meadows, what are you meaning by that?
Well, there's meadows that get, we think that, for example, reed canary grass is an invasive species that's come in, and it very much dominates a site. And we think the sites that get water for longer tend to trend towards reed canary grass, which some people like because it's very productive, and some people don't like because it totally dominates and gives very poor forage, pretty poor forage quality for livestock feed. But the wildlife folks really don't like it because it's not effective habitat for a lot of the species they follow. So,
and why did they stop these workshops and stuff like that? Do you have any idea? Or are they still, you said that they stopped in the 80s.
Oh, no, that was the research that stopped.
Oh, sorry. Why did
you know, it's a funny thing. I think other issues came up. I think that people felt like they had a pretty good handle on how to manage the meadows. And I think basically that our customers, as a research scientist, the folks that we work for and with told us, yeah, we have other things that are higher priorities now. And so I think we just largely, we only had so many resources, so many people we could put at these different problems. And the problems just changed, and people felt like they could effectively manage their meadows. Okay. And you quit watching something for a while, and it changes.
Drastically, yes.
Right before your eyes.
Well, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then we will come back to Harney County Live with Tony Sebagar and Mitch Baker.
Hey ladies, it's time for the Women's Circle 100. Harney Hospital Foundation's 4th annual Women's Circle 100 is on Thursday, April 29th at the Central Hotel in downtown Burns. The social begins at 5:30 p.m. and the dinner and presentations will start at 6. This year's event will also include a raffle drawing. Please remember to wear your mask and practice physical distancing. Your $100 gift will go directly towards supporting healthcare in Harney County. Please call Alicia Miller to RSVP at 541-573-8609. That's 573-8609 and find out more at harneyhospitalfoundation.org.
Business opportunity in Burns at the biggest little kitchen store in Eastern Oregon. Gourmet and Gadgets is looking for someone who wants a great local Harney County business opportunity. Jan's inventory is all for sale, no property included. Stop in, visit with Jan and Bob if you are interested, or call 573-1725. 573-1725. That's 573-1725 to discuss. Gourmet and Gadgets, 340 North Broadway in Burns.
Greg here at Ed Staubin Sons and Burns. It's spring gas check and safety inspection time. Call today and make an appointment. And if you have not had a gas and safety inspection in the last 5 years, it's free. Ed Staubin Sons wants your system up and running safely, free of leaks, and in compliance with all state, local, and industry standards. Call and schedule with Mindy or Donna Sue at 541-573-2622. That's 573-2622. Ed Staubin Sons and Burns. Energy, community, service.
Keeping Harney County connected. Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back to Harney County Live this morning on 92.7 KZHC. I am sitting here with Tony Sebagar and Mitch Baker, and we're discussing springtime in the Harney Basin. So let's touch bases. You were mentioning just a little bit ago about how you guys have got a drone. Can you explain and elaborate on what you are doing with this?
Tony came to me and asked me if we could do some drone pictures and do take transition photos for at least a year or more. I think it's about 2 years. And so we can put side-by-side photos together on at least my place, and there's many other folks involved in it too. But to see the transition from how the meadows transition from winter into the time of harvest in the summer and through into the fall. And so that's what him and his crew's doing with the drones, and also taking photo monitoring.
Yeah, this effort kind of came out of the workshops I mentioned earlier, where we asked landowners what did they see as the biggest threat to continuing to maintain the meadows, to have these flood meadows kind of last in perpetuity. And they said their biggest concern was that people who don't understand how the meadows work would develop regulations that would cause them to not be able to do what they've done historically. So when we got to talking, they said we really need an outreach effort to show people how the meadows work over the course of time. And out of that, we came up with, you can't beat pictures. And so he came up with a plan where we have 4 sites and across the basin, and we're going to take these drone photos at 5 different times during the year. And we've already done 2. So we did the dormant season when there was a little bit of snow out there. That was sort of early March. And we did late April. And so now we're able to look at those side by side. We'll probably do another one in mid to late June to show that sort of peak growth, or what should be peak growth. Then when it goes dormant again, and then one in the winter again. So the idea is to basically have 4 sites 5 times and be able to show the seasonal changes and the fact that these are not permanent wetlands. They go dry. So looking brown is perfectly normal. That's how it's supposed to be. And tied in with those drones, we have time-lapse photography where we can show sort of the daily changes. I've got it programmed where we take about 8 pictures during a day, and if we use the standard video rate, in about a minute and a half, we can show a full season. So we can just run people. You know, you can get people's attention for a minute and a half. You go longer than that, and you're probably pushing it. So
now, where could one say, if I wanted to see these photos and stuff like that, where would one go to look at that?
Well, what we're hoping to do is have them, you know, maybe give them to the Chamber of Commerce and the High Desert Partnership office will have access to these. And then eventually we'd like to get it put on websites as well. And so the drone work, we've contracted with a person that does this for a living, you know, because a lot of people fly drones, you know, just like all of us drive. But actual doing it correctly, having the right angles, having the right exposures, Nick Wagner is the young man's name, and he programs in the locations, so then all 5 times we can have shots at the exact same height, angle, location. You know, everything's programmed in, so when we do side-by-side, it's truly side-by-side comparisons.
Oh, wow. And you said that they're doing a bunch of different lands, not just yours?
Four
different properties. Over how acreage-wise, how many miles apart are they all?
Well, we've got things pretty well covered. So Mitch is the furthest north, and of course, he's up at the sort of the mouth of the Sylvies, you know, where it comes out of the mm-hmm. canyon. And then we have 2 locations sort of in the middle, one at the research center and one at a property off the 00, and then one on the Steens.
Oh, wow. You're covering a huge area then.
Yeah, pretty good swath.
Wow. And have you guys seen much change so far?
Well, we just did the second one, and really Nick hasn't processed all the... He processes the pictures and makes sure that they're... sometimes you'll combine 2 different exposures and so forth, you know, to make sure that they're good looking pictures, basically, you know, something I certainly couldn't do. So far we've had a chance to look at Mitch's side by side, those 2 dates. And it's really pretty cool where, you know, you get that upper level view.
Yeah, that's
me. The water tables right now. How is the snowpack and the snow melt and everything looking up at the Sylvies and running down into the rivers currently?
Well, this year's been a challenge. It's not looking real well. First, we started off with a pretty good looking snowpack that I look at from Snow Mountain to Star Ridge to up here at Divine Canyon. Mm-hmm. And everything was looking pretty decent. But then when, due to the weather and how it's changed in Mother Nature, she's going to throw a kink in it. But anyway, we didn't get quite the runoff like I thought we would probably get this year. And when you start watching the river flow levels it hasn't been very good. Here just the other day when a few weeks back, the river, it went up and peaked about 400 cubic feet a second, and then it started dropping off and went down to about 118 cubic feet. Now it's went back up a little bit and peaked at about 200, and it's starting back down again. And that's not a very going to give us a very sustainable amount of flow of water to work with. So we got kind of what we got is what we got.
So how do they go and they measure all that? How is that done?
Well, the sites that I look at, it's all automatic. They use solar type deal, and I can look at most all these sites except up here at Divine, and I made a special trip up there just to see what the snow level was at the site. But you can you can watch them on Snowtail is what I go to and find that out. Mm-hmm. And then you can there's three sites on the Silvies River I can watch for water flow, and one's at this side of Seneca up there. They call it Soda Springs, and then there's one at the lower end of Silvies Valley you can watch, and it's Silvies, and then the one above my place is the Silvies River near Burns, and it's about 8 miles above my place. But I watch all of that, and it kind of gives me some kind of a perspective on what kind of year we're going to have. But it's not all, we never know till it comes down the river.
Did you have anything to say, Dennis?
Yeah, I think that's an Oregon Department of Water Resources website, right? Yeah. The flow gauges. So if anybody wants to take a look, it's searchable. You can find it somewhere in there on their website. And the other thing, you can't predict very well, and we were talking about this earlier before the interview started, but how the water comes off matters a great deal. And this year we had those cold nights, and we didn't get a big push of water. Not only did we have almost, you know, really minimal rain in March and April, so it didn't augment that snowpack, but the water also came off in spurts instead of coming off in a big push. And that's the thing that's really hard to predict. So you know how much snow you have up there, but you don't know what you're getting for spring precip, and you don't know how it's going to come off. And one of the things that was interesting is those drone flights, the one at the experiment station. You know, when you look at eye level, it appears that there's quite a bit of water out in the landscape. Then when you get that bird's eye view, you realize there's a lot of areas that have not gotten water. And so we took those shots, those drone shots, after I think the water had been shut off in our area. I think that the flows were dropping and they were shutting off irrigation except for the very old water rights. And so that was probably the peak of what we were going to get. And looking at some of those shots, you could really see that a lot of ground did not get wet this year.
Well, I need to take a quick commercial break. We're here on Harney County Live with Tony Svegar and Mitch Baker with the springtime in the Harney Basin.
Mother's Day.
And all these meadows have got is there.
Where Polish pottery, wind chimes made in the USA, and how about other new gadgets, all designed to help make life easier for her. Plus, get free gift wrap on your purchases. Shop now so when the day comes, you can relax with mom. Let Jan and crew help you at Gourmet and Gadgets, the biggest little kitchen store in Eastern Oregon, 340 North Broadway in Burns.
Ed Stobbinsons is committed to our local community. Craig here. And we know the fuel industry is consistently fluctuating. And here at Ed Stobbinsons, we are staying on top of the industry and market to provide the best products and the best prices to our customers and community. Stick with a dedicated company to continue to provide you with the best service available. Because we are only successful if you are successful. Ed Stobbinsons and Burns, energy, community, service.
Hey ladies, it's time for the Women's Circle 100. Harney Hospital Foundation's 4th Annual Women's Circle 100 is on Thursday, April 29th at the Central Hotel in downtown Burns. The social begins at 5:30 p.m. and the dinner and presentations will start at 6. This year's event will also include a raffle drawing. Please remember to wear your mask and practice physical distancing. Your $100 gift will go directly towards supporting healthcare in Harney County. Please call Alicia Miller to RSVP at 541-573-8609. That's 573-8609 and find out more at harneyhospitalfoundation.org.
Keeping Harney County connected. Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
Welcome back to Harney County Live. I'm here with Tony Svegar and Mitch Baker with the springtime in the Harney Basin. So let's talk about the different species that are in the basin, from if you guys know about the fish, about the birds, the different types of birds that have come in.
Well, this spring, I don't get a lot of birds up the, or migratory birds up the canyon, since I live in the canyon, and birds, a lot of the migratory birds really don't like the canyon very well. But this spring, maybe it's because I had some open water, but we had about 50 swans come and spend this about 2 weeks with us until there was more water down in the valley, I guess, and then they left. But we have a variety of different birds that come and spend the summer with us and raise little ones. And so there's kind of a variety, but not like the amount of birds down here in the basin.
Now, are they the same type of birds that return every single season, or do you see different ones?
Well, like the swans, I don't remember ever seeing any of them come up there and stay like that. But the only thing was some open fields and where I'd been feeding cattle, and I think they was picking around through the grain. I'd fed some grain hay and stuff, so they was picking around through there, and there was water for them, and also there was some of the meadows was opened up, and there was a little bit of water on them that they was using. But the Canadian geese and some sandhill cranes come. We've got one pair that comes every year and raises one or two little ones, and you know, we've got the several different species of ducks and many of the other birds, blackbirds, and all of that, but you know, that's about all we have up there. But I guess they kind of like the quietness and the peacefulness up there. But anyway, that's about what happens up at our place.
So, Mindy, I'm the wrong person to talk to about all the species of bird. I specifically like plants because they stay put and they're easy to study. Yeah. But being part of this Harney Basin Wetlands Cooperative, there are people in there who do know the birds very well, and they put together sort of summaries on the numbers and the kinds of birds that spend time in the Harney Basin. And that's part of the reason there's so much focus on maintaining the wet areas within this basin, because it's such an important part of the overall flyway and the Pacific Flyway. And if we don't maintain continuity along that flyway from, you know, California to Alaska, then those birds are going to have problems, because they have to be able to make every leg of the flight to complete the life cycle. So this is a really important area, and there seems to be a somewhat of a decline in wetland acres, you know, across the West and in the flyway. So, you know, doing a little bit of work to try and keep these meadows functioning is really important for maintaining that diversity of bird species that we do have.
And have you guys seen it all affecting the fish?
That's, again, somebody else's deal, but it's all related to flows, and the problems you get into. As we start seeing declines in late season flows, you know, if you don't have enough water, temperature tends to go up, and it tends to have real negative effects on particularly the native, the red bands, and, you know, other native species that require cold water.
In the past, have the water levels, obviously every season is different, but how has it changed from like last year at this time to this year at this time?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Not sure about that.
I'm not really sure, other than, you know, the snowpack and just the way temperatures and the warm-up and everything comes off. And a lot of times we can have a really good runoff year and maybe and even flooding in the basin, but our streams doesn't, I know in my part of the country that on the upper river, that even though we've had a flood year, our river can really go dry. And so the whole Sylvie's River does not sustain a sustainable flow.
A constant flow.
So I don't
Yeah, and if I had to guess, I'd be worried about seeing levels drop this fast this early in the season. That probably doesn't bode well for what happens late in the summer.
Wow. Well, I would like to thank you two gentlemen for coming in here to the studio today and being on Harney County Live and giving some information and some insight on the basin. There's a lot of things that people don't know, and I just learned a whole lot. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming in. This is the end of Harney County Live on 92.7 KZHC.
That's another edition of Harney County Live, every weekday morning on 92.7 KZHC.
92.7 KZHC-FM, Burns Hines, now part of the Elkhorn Media Group.
I'm Mindy Gould, and here's what's happening from the 24-hour news center and myoceanoregon.com. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, awarded more than $1.1 million in federal funding to the city of John Day to repair road damage caused by severe storms, flooding, landslides, and mudslides in July of 2019. The storm caused floodwaters to erode and damage 4,000